GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
George, what have you and State Senator Paul Davis have been chatting about there behind the bulletproof glass over in Spacious Studio 7A during the break?
Well, basically, nothing much other than grandchildren and his days as a state trooper. And he gave me one a bumper sticker, but they're the greatest bumper stickers I've ever seen. They're refrigerator magnets.
Oh.
You don't have to stick them on your bumper. So I will stick one up here, and probably I'll get a quart of wood thrown on my head. But
okay. Enough of that. Paul, welcome back to our program. Good to have you in our studio. You're running again for Maine State Senate.
Yes, I'm running for re-election to the Maine State Senate. Yes.
Is there work that you want to still get done there that haven't been able to get done yet?
Yes, there's a number of things that I'd like to see get done. First off, I'd like to see a change in the way we get money for the Department of Transportation. I don't want to increase the fuel tax, but I think there needs to be some restructuring of the department, of the committee especially, and I'd like to see that happen. I also am very interested in seeing the reopening of Big Moose Mountain up in the Greenville area. It's been closed, the upper part of it, for a long time now. At one time, there was 150 employees there. Wow. And that was a huge shot in the arm for the whole area. And I want to continue working on that and see that come to be.
Well, and District 4 is a big district. I mean, you've got a ton of towns there. We know that. You live in Sangerville.
I do.
And Patty is feeding you pretty well.
She is feeding me very well, and she's been feeding me for over 50 years.
50 years.
That's right.
You mentioned, you're back in session.
Yes.
You went in yesterday. We'll get to that. a couple of things. Rick asked what we were chatting about. We have 600 bills about.
That's correct.
How many of those are emergency?
I couldn't tell you an exact figure, but I suspect there's quite a few that are not. And as I was telling you, I received a call from a rather prominent person, a text from a prominent person the other night, where they are planning to bring a court challenge saying they are not emergencies.
Years ago, when the roller derby bill got through into the short session, and we all scratched our head and said, what is emergent about this bill to promote roller derby in southern Maine? But voters gave the House to the Democrats, they gave the Senate to the Democrats, and they gave the Blaine House. So there's the power in the legal and the legislative council, 6-4. They can put through what they want to put through.
That's correct.
But the ratio, the numbers, talked with Troy Jackson on the radio, talked with Trey Stewart on the radio, and it just seems that there's a lot of politics going on down there on whose bill gets through and into the short session, Paul.
Well, there's always a lot of politics going on down there, no matter what you're talking about, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, we're acting like this is something new. It's been going on for years, but with the bills getting through.
Well, he who controls runs the show.
Well, we're finding out on the national level, too. All right, you mentioned, I know you're interested in transportation. Is there a bill in there to jack the gas tax?
There's a study going on to study how they are obtaining funds for the department. I don't think there is a specific bill as of yet.
But you used the term 51%. I almost fainted.
Well, that's one of the things that has been kicked around down there, that there is going to be a proposal to raise the gas tax up to 51%.
Even if we take it up to less than 51, can the people of Maine that are, well, can your constituents who have to drive a distance in order to probably go to their job, can they afford extra?
Absolutely not. I have people that go to Waterville, Bangor, Augusta, you name it. Then they live in Greenville and Dover, Foxcroft and Dexter. There's no way that my people can afford such a thing. And I can assure them I will not support it,
okay,
period.
But the sidebar to that is, or the other side to that is, and George and I have heard the people, we got to do something about these roads.
There's no question. We just passed a bond issue. It was over $100 million. I'm told, $116 million surplus. That money could be used for the roads. That's a lot of money to go into the roads. We do have an issue, somewhat of an issue, with the infrastructure. We got to have enough people to rebuild the roads, and that's a pile of money to put into them.
We see it in Washington, we see it in Augusta, but all right, so the Democrats control the Blaine House, they control the House and the Senate, we know that. But it's been the other way around, too. Is there any way, as you go into these sessions, that we can have a session and talk about policy without getting into all these tribal politics and get part and party line votes. Is it even possible, or am I just being Pollyanna?
I think Pollyanna is alive and well. That's what I think. We talk all the time. We talk politics all the time, of course, but we talk issues all the time and how it's going to affect politics and how politics affects that, and on and on. The debate goes on continually in both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. And what we get out of it is hopefully the best for the people of Maine. Sometimes it is, and sometimes you have to question the results.
State Senator Paul Davis, the Republican of Piscataquis County, in our studio. Yes, he is campaigning for re-election. It's Q&A on GHRT. This morning, we got an earful from our listeners on LD 2007, introduced yesterday by Janet Mills, Troy Jackson, and Sarah Gideon. I don't know if you've had much of a chance to see anything inside this bill that says that, you get a free doctor's. If you got insurance through a small business or an individual insurance policy, we're going to see to it that you get one free doctor's visit every year and two free follow-ups that you'll only have to pay a copay for.
Well, that's got to be paid for. And how does it be paid for? It gets paid for by everybody else. That's exactly what will happen. It's a tax increase, basically.
Follow-up to that, we've seen similar policy like this, Dirigo Health, mm-hmm. the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. If those had worked, we wouldn't need this measure.
Well, that may be, but as you just said, they didn't work. They didn't work. Period. And somebody else is going to have to pay the bill on this. There's nothing free. It's going to have to be paid.
Yeah, there's no free lunch.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what party you belong to.
That
no
is
free
correct.
Lunch.
That's right, Judge.
If you would look back on your, how many years you've been there now?
This is my 20th year, in if you combine both the House and the Senate.
What's the most important piece of legislation you've sponsored, you think, through the years?
My biggest accomplishment, I got to say, I thought about that, thought that question might come up. In Dover Foxcroft, we have a young man that has an audiology office. He's an audiologist. He grew up in our area, I believe he grew up in Guilford. He went down to Tennessee or Kentucky, got his master's in audiology. He went to New Brunswick, worked 8 to 10 years there in a very rural area, much like ours. And then he came back and he wanted to open an office. And lo and behold, there was all kinds of restrictions in front of him. He was told he had to be an apprentice for 5 years to a professional audiologist. And it just went on and on and on, the things that they were going to make him do. And there was absolutely no do. He was successful. He had done very well. And through a whole bunch of hearings and meetings, and with the assistance, I got to give him credit, Governor Baldacci. We couldn't have done it without Governor Baldacci being right behind us, and he was. We finally were able to get him his license. And he opened up that shop. It's probably been 8 years now, 7 or 8 years, whatever. And he has served the good folks of Piscataquis and Penobscot and Somerset counties all that time. And he does a great job. He's very kind-hearted. I'm sure he does a lot of it on the, pro bono.
Pro bono.
He does it for nothing. And or a very reduced rate. And it's just been a remarkable success for the people there. There's a guy that's opened up an eye doctor's, an optometrist office right beside him, and the people get these services. And I got to say that I'm proud that we were able to do that. And I will say it again, Judge, for your benefit and the good governor, Governor Baldacci, we wouldn't have done it without him.
Hope to cut some red tape.
No question.
State Senator Paul Davis, the Republican of Piscataquis County, running for re-election. It's Q&A on GHRT. A listener wants us to ask you, what happened to all that money we had in the bank before LePage left?
Well, it's still, the rainy day fund is still there. Jim Hamper told me yesterday morning that there was $241 million still there. They have been spending the surplus. They've been spending about everything they could as fast as they can. And the budget, depending on who you want to talk to and if you want to include transportation and everything in it, is up either 11 to 12% or up around 16%. A lot of money, billions of dollars are going to be spent in the next couple of years.
Well, our budget is $1 billion more than it was last time. And what have we gotten for it?
That's a good question. We got a lot of potholes, haven't we? That would be my response to it. I'm not sure the budget caused that, or lack of budget. They did cancel a whole bunch of road projects. They canceled one in my area, a major one, from Abbott Village to Guilford. Supposedly going to do it next year.
See, Abbott's always excited because if they're going to work on roads and towns alphabetically, Abbott's always first.
Abbott gets the first picking. That's right.
You know, Paul, we have three co-equal branches of government. Yeah, I know how the media handles. I know the political fallout. The governor gets the heat. All right, every governor gets the heat, but the purse is really controlled by the legislature and into the Appropriations Committee. Governor only does so much.
Well, the governor proposes and the legislature disposes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how it works.
So when you say the governor is spending, no, the legislature is, and then the appropriation. You've got to get down to where it really happens.
That all is true on paper, but the governor proposes and the governor is the driving force.
Yes.
And if she or he has allies and enough allies, they get their way. And that is what has happened in the last year. Governor Mills has got her way, and we have this, what I feel, is a huge budget that is not going to be sustainable. I don't believe that the money is there. Awesome. I talked against this budget, and I argued against it. I felt we should have been a little tougher, maybe, but this is what we got.
Was Republican leadership too soft?
The Republican leadership, I believe, was a little divided on it. I think that the assistant leader, Jeff Timberlake, pushed hard to reduce the spending. And I think that our leader, Dana Dow, perhaps felt a little different, although not a whole lot, I don't think. And we wound up with Dana voting for it and Jeff Timberlake voted against it, as I did. There was, I want to emphasize this a little bit, there was no deal for some of us to vote against it and some of us to vote for it. That is not a true statement. There is no deal. None.
Is it a case of pay me now or pay me later, though?
Well, it's a case of spend me now.
If you delay things. Yeah, right. If you keep delaying things and not spending, sooner or later, doesn't that catch up?
Well, obviously, but it's a case of priorities, too, Judge.
Yep.
You want to fill those potholes? Do you want to leave them so you wreck your car every time, you break a shock every time you go over them?
Or worse, our grandkids.
Or worse, our grandkids or ourselves.
Yeah, well, don't make a case for increasing the gas tax.
No, I'm not. I think we need to change the way we do things.
Okay.
I think and they're kicking a lot of ideas around. I've told them quite emphatically that I'm not going to support a gas tax increase. I put a piece in the paper about that, and I mean it. I'm not going to support increasing the gas tax.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.